Thank you, Brother Alvin, and good morning, brothers and sisters. I do greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I do not come here in my own strength or for my own purpose, but to the honor and the glory of our Father in heaven. I want to thank Brother Randy for giving me this opportunity to be here this morning. If you looked at your old calendar, you saw that I was supposed to have been here last Sunday morning, and he was supposed to be here this morning, last Sunday evening I was supposed to have been here, and he was supposed to be here this morning. But he graciously agreed to change places with me so I could go to Puryear. And we want to express the thanks that the Puryear group sends to this group for their help in their repair of their church building down there. Those of you not acquainted with that local, that's a small local. A good Sunday, they'll have about six participants in our church services besides those who goes with us. That's a good Sunday. Last Sunday we had three besides, there were six altogether, counting my son Jim and Bonnie and myself. And we enjoyed the opportunity to meet in that building. That was before the ceiling was finished. They mentioned in the beginning, Brother Alvin mentioned a while ago about the money going to Honduras. Last year they sent their money to Puryear for the repair of that building, basically the roof, which had been leaking and caused quite a bit of damage to the whole building everywhere. And as I said, those of you there last night, this is a repeat, but maybe some of you wasn't there. They sent around $600, give or take, I'm not sure the exact figure, which was not enough to do the roof. And so I took our problem to the bishopric, and they kindly consented to do the roof out of the church general funds. And the money that the young people sent from the Riverfront Cafe last year went to refurbish the inside. And it was enough to do the ceiling, and that is a blessing in itself. I have the stiff neck and the sore muscles to prove it. But we was blessed in spite of ourselves, in spite of the problems that existed. The room was not square and the blocks were not even. So we had a little problem, but we, with the help of the Lord, I think we got them straightened out. I have a question for you. How many of you have had a blessing this week? Good. How many have had a blessing that didn't feel good? Yes, some of our blessings are those things that do not feel good. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning, and I pray that indeed with your prayers and God's help that I will be able to put them together so that they make sense and understanding. I think perhaps I will start by reading from the third chapter of Malachi. Starting with the 10th verse. Bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be enough room to receive it. Now rebuke the devourers for your sake, and ye shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God, and what profiteth it that we should keep thy ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, and they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. In a book of remembrance was written before him that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall you return and discern between righteous and wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. When we talk about our blessings, there are a lot of blessings that we do not recognize and we take things for granted. We are met here this morning, I presume at least 100 of us out around that figure. We got up this morning, most of us, and prepared and came to church. Just concerned about me getting here myself. Think about prayer, that little group. How would it feel to be responsible for making sure the church was clean the day before? To make sure that everybody knew that the elders were going to be there. To feed not only my own family, but the elders that came. And to get us all to church on time. How blessed are we? We don't have to worry about things like that, do we? We elect somebody else to do it. We are a blessed people. We have the support one of another and encouragement one of another. I ask you if you had a blessing that didn't make you feel good. As we would turn to Hebrews 12th chapter, 6th verse. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof are all partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and gave us reverence, so we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and lie and live. For verily, verily I say, for they verily for a few days chastening us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up your hands, which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make the straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then there's another one that I would like to refer to in Matthew, the 10th chapter. The 34th verse. Jesus speaking. Think not that I am come to send peace into the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. No, it is written at the gospel. The words of Jesus Christ are more powerful than a two-edged sword, and they divided both bone and marrow. There are times when the blessings of the Lord separate us from one another. But with that, there is a responsibility that we have with the Spirit of God with us, that we let it work. And though we be separated, we are not mean or angry one with another. We are separated with love, compassion, and concern. There's another blessing that we all are partakers of. Found in 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter. Starting with the 197th verse on page 38. I think I'll start with verse 192, and I hope you will bear with me in my reading. And the angel of the Lord spake to me, saying, "These last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which were of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall be made known, shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them." Now, the last records, as he's talking about, is what we call the Book of Mormon. And the first records was of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, which we call the Bible. "And shall make known to all kindreds, tongues, and people that the Lamb of God is the Son of the Eternal Father, and the Savior of the world, and that all men must come unto him, or they cannot be saved. And they must come according to the words which are established by the mouth of the Lamb. And the words of the Lamb shall be made known unto in the records of thy seed." And now that's Nephi speaking, and thy seed is, he's talking to his people, his brothers and their families, and their descendants, that the records of their seed, as well as the records of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, wherefore they both shall be established in one. And there is one God and one shepherd over all the earth. And the time cometh that he shall manifest himself unto all nations, both to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. And after he has manifested himself unto the Jews and also unto the Gentiles, then he shall manifest himself unto the Gentiles and also unto the Jews. Now that's not a riddle. That is the way he did it. He came, Christ came to the Jews, and then he sent his apostles and his ministry to the Gentiles. In the last days, he sent his word unto the Gentiles, and he will take it back to the house of Israel, or the Jews. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. It shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God, in that day he shall manifest himself unto them in word, and also in power, and very deed, and to the taking away of their stumbling blocks, and harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy Father. And they shall be numbered among the house of Israel, and they shall be a blessed people. And we're talking about blessings. They shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever. And there shall be no more brought down into captivity, and the house of Israel shall no more be confounded. And that great pit which was digged for them by the great and abominable church was founded by the devil and his children, that he might lead them away, their souls, down to hell. Yea, that great pit which was digged for the destruction of men shall be filled with those who digged it, unto their utter destruction, saith the Lamb of God. Here, Nephi is speaking of a promise. And I want to go back a little bit to rehearse that promise. It was given first in the let's see, I think it's the 12th chapter of Genesis. Yeah, 12th chapter of Genesis. We probably all know the story about Abraham, but it carries with it a great promise unto all people, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, not just Abraham and his seed. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, in the first four verses, the Lord said unto Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land which I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot, that's his cousin, or nephew rather, went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he appeared in the land of Haran. Departed out of the land of Haran, rather. And he also took his wife and Lot's, his brother's son, and all their things. If we turn now to the 17th chapter of Genesis, starting again with the first verse. When Abraham got over into that land of Canaan, in the 17th chapter, in the first verse, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abram fell down on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but you shall be called Abraham." And that's called the father of a great multitude. "For a father of many nations I have made thee. And I'll make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make a nation of thee, and kings shall come unto thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and thy seed after thee. And I'll give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And God said unto him, "Thou shalt keep my covenants, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations." Up to this time, when Abraham was 99 years old, he had no seed at all. And it was quite disturbing to him to know how that could be. But when he was 100 years old, God gave him a son, Isaac. And we know that from Isaac came Jacob. And from came Jacob, the house of Israel, which included the Jews. In that 17th chapter, he said he gave Abraham and his seed after him all the land of Israel, of Canaan, which was a great portion of the land there at the eastern edge of the Mediterranean, clear over to the river Euphrates. In the 12th chapter there, I read that through him all the families of the earth should be blessed. And I presume that most of us know what that amounted to. Because we know that through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their son, Joseph, but also the Jews. It's from the lineage of the Jews came Christ, who was of that lineage there. And my senior moment, I forgot the son's name there. Judah. Right, thank you. Judah was one of the sons of Jacob, and from them to David, and from David down to Christ. That was the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of the earth birth. I would like now to turn to probably the third book of Nephi and the 12th chapter. Starting with the 12th verse. Christ came here, as most of us know, and he taught the people here the same things he taught the people in Jerusalem. And he chose 12 disciples to watch over the flock, and from there they chose other ministry, elders, priests, and teachers. It says, and it came to pass that they did all things, even as Jesus had commanded them. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus, who were called the Church of Christ. It came to pass that the disciples of Jesus were journeying, and they were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen. They were baptizing in the name of Jesus. It came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were united in a mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, what will ye that I should give unto you? And they said to him, Lord, we will that thou wouldst tell us the name whereby this we call this church, for there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. The Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute about this thing? Have they not read the scriptures which say, you must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall ye be called at the last day, and whosoever taketh upon him my name and endureth the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever you shall do in my name. Therefore, you shall call the church in my name, and shall call upon the Father in my name, and he will bless the church for my sake. And howbeit my church shall be called in my name. For the church is called the name of Moses, then it be Moses' church. If you call the name of a man, then it is the name of a man. But if you call in my name, then it is my church, if it so be that it is built upon my gospel. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye are built upon my gospel. Therefore, ye shall call whatsoever thing you do in my name. Therefore, ye call upon the Father for the church. If it be in my name, the Father will hear you. If it so be the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his works in it. Paul spoke of this occasion of the blessing of Abraham in the book of Acts. It's not Paul there, it was Peter. Third chapter of Acts. And the sixth verse. To kind of give us a little background on this story, following the day of Pentecost, Peter and John went into the temple, and there at the gate was a man that had been lame from his birth, and that's at the time when Peter told him, said, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he leaped upon his feet because they received their strength. And they went into the temple, and the man was praising God and really excited about his healing, and caused the people to be concerned and want to know how this happened. And if we pick it up down here in the 16th verse, well, maybe go back to the 13th. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore ye are witnesses. And this name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which by him hath made him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, brethren, I wot not that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But these things which God hath showed by the mouth of his holy prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world begun. For Moses has truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God hath made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all kindred to the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That is a blessing that we all enjoy today, a blessing that is greater than anything else that we could anticipate or even wonder or desire, that through Jesus Christ we have the opportunity to come as we are today, to study and to hear his word, and to have the word that he has prepared and handed down to us, that would lead us into all truth. Right now, I think I will turn to Alma, the 16th chapter. In the 215th verse, on page 429. And behold, this is the whole meaning of the law, every whit pointing to that great and last sacrifice. And that great and last sacrifice will be the Son of God, yea, infinite and eternal. And thus he shall bring salvation unto all those who shall believe on his name. This being the intent of this last sacrifice, to bring about the bowels of mercy, which overpowereth justice, and bringeth about a means unto men that they may have faith unto repentance. And thus mercy can satisfy the demands of justice, and encircle them in the arms of safety, while he that exercises no faith and repentance is exposed to the whole law and demands of justice. Therefore, only unto him that has faith and repentance is brought about the great and eternal plan of redemption. Therefore, may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye may begin to exercise your faith into repentance, that ye begin to call on the Holy, His holy name, that He would have mercy upon you, crying to Him for mercy, that He might, for He is mighty to save. And again, I might bring you up to date on where Alma is. Actually, this is, I think it's Amulek's word, not Alma's. That I'm reading from. But they went down into the land of the Zoramites, I believe it was, and there they found the people that was being discriminated against. And he taught them to show them that they... lost my place. Had no right to be discouraged or because they could worship God without being allowed to enter into the temple that they helped to build. But he goes on to say, yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him. Cry unto Him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto Him over in your houses, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Cry unto Him against the power of your enemies, yea, cry unto Him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto Him for over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry unto Him over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wildernesses. Yea, when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your heart be full drawn out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after you have done all these things, if you turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and impart of your substance if you have to those who have in need, stand in need, I say unto you, if you do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing, and ye are hypocrites who deny the faith. Therefore, if you do not remember to be charitable, ye are as a dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and trodden under the foot of men. And as I read that word charitable, sometimes we define that as said there, to give to those who have not. But I would like to turn over to the 7th chapter of Moroni and tell you what charity really means. So it may be meek and lowly of heart and confessed by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and endureth forever. And whosoever found possessing it at the last day, be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart, that you may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you may become the sons of God. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. So it's more than being able to help with our funds. In fact, it's things that we can do without funds as well. Now going back to pick it up where I left off, if I can find my place again. Starting at 226 rather. And now my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring forth fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if you repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. Behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, this is the day that this life, behold, the day of this life is a day for men to reform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance unto the end. For after this day of life, which is given to us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh a night of darkness, wherein there can no labor be performed. Yea, I say unto you, that we are brought to that awful crisis, and I will repent, and that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same Spirit which doth possess our bodies at the time we go out of this life, that same Spirit hath power to possess our bodies in eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subject to that light of the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you. And this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, he will dwell not in unholy temples, but the hearts of the righteous doth he, but in the hearts of the hearts of the righteous he doth dwell. That is the purpose for which we're assembled here this morning. That is the purpose which we assembled every Sunday, or every time the church doors are open, whether it be as last night when we gathered together in a time of being sociable one with another, and to partake of the food that the young people had prepared for us, but to have charity towards others who have not those things that we have. God has blessed this nation. He has made us a powerful nation. But he has given us a great responsibility. And as Brother Alvin mentioned, the prayer service this afternoon, was it 5 o'clock? 5:30?
Whatever.
Okay. Or at the choir. We have a great responsibility to this nation, that we do that which is right before him, that we hold up the light of his Son into the world, and that we, though we cannot force anyone, and in holding up that light into the world, that they too might see the things that we do and glorify God. That this nation might be protected, because we know of the promises made in this nation. It'll only be free from all captivity and persecution as long as we serve the God of this land. And the God of this land is not Allah. Believe me, it's not Allah. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's His Son, Jesus Christ, that we're called to worship and to serve. And I read you some things that we must do in that service. And I know that there are many other scriptures that perhaps many of you would consider this morning as we talked about this. But my point is that we need to recognize the blessing that we have. A blessing that is second to none. No, I have not been in many nations, but I have been out of our own borders. And there's no place I've been like this. There's no other land in all the world that gives us the freedom that we enjoy. And we are required to protect that. And the way that we protect that is to serve the God of this land. Not just to come to church for a social time, but to recognize that Jesus Christ was the last sacrifice, that there be no more blood sacrifices as it was in the law of Moses. So we would not do that anymore, because Christ told the people when they came here that He would not have those anymore. But what He is asking of us is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Not my will be done, but God's will be done in all things. And I thank you for your time and your patience and your endurance. May the glory be to God. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. Remember to correct your bulletin. The bike ride for the young people is at 3 o'clock Saturday, not 6:30. And remember the change in services for this afternoon, the all-congregation prayer service to pray for our nation. And it'll be right after the cantata practice, whenever that ends, up until the evening service at 6:30. Our brother Randy Sheldon will be in charge. Let us close this service this morning with hymn number 141. 141. Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the service this morning. And we pray that you will go with us through the remainder of the day as we dedicate it to you. O Lord, we thank you for thy Son, Jesus Christ, and all he's done for us. We ask that you go with us in whatever activities we're involved to bless us accordingly.